I'd like to call this meeting of House State Affairs to order. The time is 3:27 on Tuesday, April 14, 2026, and we're here in room 120. Please silence your cell phones today. And we have members present, Representative Holland, Representative Himshute, and myself, Chair Carrick. We do not have a quorum today to conduct business, but we are solely doing a presentation today. Previously noticed bills will not come up today, and so we are able to proceed with our presentation. Our record secretary is Cecilia Miller, and our moderator at the Juno LIO is Renzo Moises, and our committee aide, as always, is my staff, Stuart Relay. And today we just have one item on our agenda now, which is a presentation on AI regulation across states from the National Conference of State Legislatures. I'm really pleased that they were able to put this presentation together as the state coordinator for the NCSL organization in Alaska. I'm really grateful to have worked with the elections policy experts on a variety of issues. And most recently, my staff has helped set up this presentation on regulating artificial intelligence in states across the country. Our presenter today is Darcy Cherry from NCSL, who will be joining us on Teams. And our committee aide will advance the slides for us. So, Ms. Cherry, whenever you'd like to advance to the next slide, just simply say next slide, and we will go ahead and take care of that here in the room. Again, thank you for joining us. And if you could just put yourself on the record and go ahead and start with your presentation.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to speak with you today. I am Darcy Cherry, and I direct the Center for Results-Driven Governing at the National Conference of State Legislatures. And I am pleased to provide you with an overview of recent state legislative trends regarding artificial intelligence. I'm not sure exactly what you all can see right now, but if we want to go to what would be the second slide, that would be the place to start.
We are there and
okay, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. I just wasn't sure, so I didn't want to start taking off without kind of knowing where we were. So I like to start most of these presentations with just a reminder of who NCSL is. Sometimes folks in the room may not be familiar with us. The National Conference of State Legislatures is a bipartisan membership organization serving legislators and staff for over 50 years. We serve all 50 states and commonwealths, the territories, and D.C., providing comprehensive and nonpartisan research on state policies and the legislative institution. NCSL is based in Denver, and we also have a small office in D.C. Our colleagues in D.C. focus on ensuring that state legislatures have a strong, cohesive voice in the federal system. NCSL does not make policy recommendations, nor do we advocate certain positions to states. Instead, we promote policy innovation, and we try to facilitate communication across states. And we do this because we believe in the importance of the legislative institution. Next slide, please. So in the time I have with you today, we'll run through an overview of AI and the many legal and legislative considerations being discussed in state legislatures. I'll also provide some examples of the legislative trends we've seen over the last few years related to AI and the choices states have made about the application and use of the technology. Next slide, please. So while generative AI like ChatGPT and Bard receive a lot of attention, there are other types of AI that we use and are used for us in our day-to-day lives. So if you've ever used a translation app on your mobile device, then you've used natural language processing. If you've had your picture taken by a TSA screening machine at the airport, your picture was analyzed through facial recognition, and that's an example of computer vision AI. AI is an umbrella term used to describe systems that emulate human intelligence, while machine learning describes how AI systems like generative AI or natural language or computer vision can learn from data to improve predictive decision making. So an example of this is if you've used autofill while texting or typing a document, that's an example of machine learning. The AI system, in this case, autofill, is fed data to teach it to recognize patterns and relationships. And as the system is trained, it can then make predictions or decisions on new unseen data, predicting perhaps what word you were trying to spell. Another example is the automated decision-making that may take place in financial services for things like issuing credit and insurance. And in these cases, the AI system is using data and algorithms to make decisions without direct human intervention. Agentic AI is more complex. The system uses both machine learning and information from external tools to complete tasks that may take several steps and multiple sources of information. Next slide, please. A little bit more about the types of AI that exist. The systems that were on the previous slide are all examples of what's called narrow AI, systems that are built for specific tasks and basically do one job at a time. Narrow AI systems sift through massive amounts of data to identify patterns, apply automation to workflows, and generate human quality text. However, these systems can't adapt to situations outside of their training. You may have also heard of artificial general intelligence, or AGI. It's kind of out there in the news and in the media, and it is still a theoretical model and does not exist today. But the concept is that an AGI system would have the ability to transfer knowledge across a range of tasks in different settings, adapting in real time without additional programming. So taking knowledge from one setting and transferring it to another setting, something that current AI systems cannot do. Next slide, please. The life cycle of an AI system includes the design, development, deployment, and then use of the system. So risks can develop across multiple points within that life cycle and are influenced by the developers, the deployers, the end users, and the public. So policymakers across the states are grappling with the legal and societal impacts of AI technology. Examples of these considerations are on this slide, from privacy and data protection considerations to questions about liability and concerns about bias and discrimination, among other factors. Next slide, please. More and more states have introduced AI legislation over the last few years, with over 1,000 bills introduced in 2025 from all 50 states, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and DC. This chart shows the categories of bills introduced related to AI, ranging from housing to energy use and creating new crimes, among many other topics and strategies. In the 2026 legislative session, we're on track to outpace previous years in terms of volume. So already there have been 1,100 bills introduced in 48 states and the territories, and 21 states and territories have already enacted 52 bills. This year, legislation to date, knowing that not all sessions have wrapped up, seems to be focused on chatbots, AI disclosure requirements, and algorithmic pricing. Just briefly, algorithmic pricing uses AI and machine learning to adjust prices in real time based on things like demand, competitor data, and customer behavior in order to maximize profit. This type of pricing structure is most common in retail, travel, and housing.
And actually, could we stop on that one?
Sure.
Ms. Cherry, I'm wondering, we have a bill in the Alaska legislature related to an AI task force. Would that fall under studies on this chart?
It would. And that's a great question. I'm going to get into that a little bit more, too, about how states are using task force and working groups.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So let's see. On the next slide, in the next part of this presentation, I want to focus on three trends that have risen to the top, and this is where that study issue will come in when we talk about AI-related laws that have passed. So most states have started to study and oversee government use of AI. Some states have passed comprehensive AI legislation, and many other states have considered and passed targeted legislation on specific AI issues. Next slide, please. So in the last couple of years, legislators have been discussing and determining how state government can and should use AI. State legislators considered over 150 bills on government use of AI in 2024 and again in 2025. And approaches have varied, but there are some common themes. States have considered various methods to study both the use of AI for improving and transforming government services and its potential risks. In some cases, states have created new entities to study the issue, and in others, the work has been integrated into already established bodies. So a few examples include education and AI working groups in California and New Mexico, AI-focused task forces in West Virginia and Mississippi. And then states have also created new legislative committees in Rhode Island, for example, and in Texas is another example. Over the last few years, at least 10 states have instructed state agencies to inventory and describe the AI applications within their operations that impact the services they deliver, just trying to get an understanding of what might already be in use in the state, where there are similarities, and perhaps across agencies where there may be different systems in use. For example, just last year, Kentucky passed legislation to require this type of inventory. And then finally, to address concerns about possible bias, states like Connecticut, Idaho, Maryland, and Virginia have mandated that state agencies complete impact assessments to ensure AI systems in use are ethical, trustworthy, and beneficial. Next and slide, please.
I have another question here, Ms. Cherry. Sure. So when we talk about AI systems in use under impact assessments, it's mm-hmm. You know, I think most of us and the public are, when we think about AI, we automatically jump to something like ChatGPT. But I know AI is a pretty broad category, as you described. And so do you have some examples of maybe historical or traditional uses of AI, what we would consider today AI systems technology in state governments or in other contexts? Because I'm just trying to get a sense of what that could include in practice.
Yes, Madam Chair, happy to answer that question. There are a number of ways that state governments are using AI, and some of them are kind of in some broad categories. So one is to, for example, assess whether applicants for services are eligible or not. So determining eligibility, in a number of settings. Another is around procurement. So some states are using AI to automate some of their procurement processes. States are using AI to do things like look at tax information and identify fraud risk. Monitor how taxpayer dollars are being spent within state agencies. Some states are using AI tools to review and reduce words and redundancies in administrative code or in other kind of regulation. That might be huge volumes of information. Just trying to get that down a little bit. And then I think there's also just probably the ways that you and I might be using it in our own just work or daily life to write or to generate images for marketing, improve perhaps something that you've developed or to get some ideas generated. So those are just some other examples. There are some more specific examples that I can touch on as well. There are states that have developed AI tools that are used as part of customer service solutions. So you might interact with a chatbot on the state's website instead of a person. So those are a few examples. We can also pull together some more if it would be helpful to understand like maybe some specific ways that states are using AI.
No, actually, that's really helpful context just to get my brain around some of those examples.
Great. Let's see. Let's move to the next slide. You're going to hear a little bit of repetition. Most of my examples I will talk about here, but I'll provide you with some ideas of states that have implemented some of what we're talking about. So I mentioned that states are studying the use of AI, and then they've also established offices to manage AI implementation and make recommendations for its use. So in Vermont, the Division of Artificial Intelligence sits within the Agency of Digital Services and is charged with reviewing all AI systems that are developed, deployed, or procured in state government. So other examples with similar charges are Utah's Office of Artificial Intelligence Policy and Hawaii's State Data Office. Over 30 states have issued guidance on state agency use of AI. Common elements here would include outlining roles and responsibilities and guiding principles, what the training requirements are for state employees to use the AI tool, inventory requirements that we've talked about, and impact assessments. And then some states are adding new requirements and guidelines around procurement procedures for IT equipment and AI systems. So buying these systems to be used in state government, putting some rules around those to ensure that the systems being purchased are appropriate for the kind of data that they might be using. Washington is one state that released a guide for procuring, developing, or using AI tools for automated decision systems. So those systems that might determine, for example, eligibility. And the process in Washington must include testing and validation to assess performance, accuracy, and any potential bias before those systems are deployed. There are a couple states, including Kansas and Oregon, that have prohibited the use of AI in state government. More specifically, they are prohibiting the use of certain AI applications by state employees or downloaded onto state devices due to security risks. Next slide, please. In this slide, I'm going to run through a few more specific examples of AI use that have been initiated, not just by state legislatures, but also by governors or by state agencies. Again, just trying to flesh out how states are using AI. So Ohio's legislature appropriated funding for a Department of Medicaid pilot program using automation and AI with the goal of reducing program costs. So while states may not be committing to full use of AI, a number are running pilot programs, and this is one of those examples. Florida's legislature appropriated funds to the Department of Health for the deployment of an AI customer service solution, that sort of chatbot idea that I spoke of on perhaps a state website. And in Hawaii, the legislature funded the University of Hawaii to develop and implement a wildfire forecasting system for the state using AI. Moving on to executive actions. In Arkansas, the governor established a working group to review AI-related pilot projects in their state on unemployment insurance fraud and recidivism reduction, and to help the state develop best practices for safe implementation of AI across government. Pennsylvania's governor launched a pilot program which provided state employees with access to ChatGPT Enterprise to enhance efficiency, streamline workflows, and improve, ultimately, the goal was to improve the delivery of government services. And then at the state agency level, Vermont's Agency of Administration uses an AI tool called GenTax to process tax information and identify fraud risk to reduce tax fraud in the state. I kind of had touched on that earlier. And in Oklahoma, the Office of Management and Enterprise Services is using AI to monitor how AI or how taxpayer dollars are being spent within state agencies. And we talked a little bit too about how states are using these tools to reduce the words and redundancies in administrative code or regulations. Next slide, please. So looking beyond government use of AI, states have started to consider and pass what we're calling comprehensive AI legislation. In 2024, two states enacted first-in-the-nation comprehensive laws focused on consumer protection and safety. Utah passed its Artificial Intelligence Policy Act, which requires disclosure from covered entities for their use of generative AI technologies. They also included in the law penalties for violations. They're civil penalties, and they're calculated on a per-violation basis. The new law also established two entities, an AI regulatory body and the AI Learning Lab program, which is tasked with studying the impact of AI in the state. Building on that 2024 law, Utah went on to enact Senate Bill 226 in 2025, It requires further disclosures when generative AI and chatbots are used in consumer transactions and in regulated services like legal or medical contexts. In 2024, Colorado passed Senate Bill 205, another comprehensive AI law. In Colorado, it applies to high-risk AI systems that are used to make consequential decisions about consumers. So these are big decisions regarding whether or not a consumer might receive services or the cost or terms of the services. So this would include instances where AI is used to make decisions about things like education, employment, financial services, government services, healthcare, housing, insurance, or legal services. And in Colorado, developers and deployers must use reasonable care to avoid discrimination in these decisions and to disclose known inappropriate uses of the technology and to disclose the data used to train the systems. They are also required to implement risk management policies and conduct periodic impact assessments. I will say that in Colorado, after this bill was passed, not everyone was happy with what was enacted. So the legislature created a task force to make some changes to this bill. The task force did not come to consensus on major changes, but during Colorado's special session last summer, the legislature delayed implementation of the law until June of 2026. So next slide. Oh, yes, I'm
Mr. Chair, we
sorry.
have a question from Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you. Through the chair, the information you're touching on is really well put together. Thank you for that. But with regard to the current slide we're on, I wonder, and perhaps if you're going to get to this a little bit later, we can put this off a little bit. But in the case of these two comprehensive AI legislation examples you've highlighted here, I'm wondering if you can describe a little bit about what was the genesis that helped these two states get to the point of having the foundation built to be able to craft these significant pieces of legislation. Was it legislative task forces that started studying this thing for a year or more, or was this model legislation that was brought forth by an advocacy group of some sort? Was it a university study? Programs. What's kind of helping legislatures and perhaps these to get to the point that they have the capability and the knowledge to bring these significant policy bills forward?
Madam Chair and Representative Holland, I don't know exactly what the genesis was for these two states, and I just want to apologize. This is a new area for me, and I'm filling in while we wait for a vacant position to be filled on my team with someone who has a little bit more knowledge. But I can look into the issue. I will say that in these states, and there are two more that I'll talk about in the next slide that have implemented comprehensive state legislation. They have been working on this issue for some time. I think the task force and the studies that we talked about, the impact assessments, understanding how AI is currently being used and how it might be used, has kind of led them to these comprehensive legislation packages. I will also note that while I have four examples from states that have tackled comprehensive AI legislation, the trend really is for states to tackle specific AI uses. And I will talk about those in a little bit after we get past the comprehensive legislation. And I think that's because I think there's a couple reasons. There's a lot to cover. When you talk about AI, you can talk about state use, you can talk about regulating it in the private sector or public domain, and you can talk about all of those considerations on one of those early slides, and that can be tough to tackle in one piece of legislation.
That's good for now. Thank you.
And I'll actually add a question too, Ms. Cherry. This is kind of a really broad question, but when I look at some of the descriptions of the items included in some of these bills, it seems like a lot of the states have really focused on putting guardrails in place around usage of AI. And here in Alaska, we often get caught between a rock and industry, where industry is just wanting our state to make it as easy as possible for new industries, and in a huge myriad of ways. Are we seeing any states writ large taking a, I don't want to say that regulating AI is an anti-AI approach, but in the reverse, just a very pro AI expansion approach, where they're not thinking about guardrails, they're more thinking about accelerating technology. And it's just kind of a, on a broad brushstroke, do we see that in any particular context?
Yes, we do, Madam Chair. And there are a few states that have led this work and a few states that I can talk about on another slide that are bringing innovation supporting innovation and kind of opportunities for AI developers to explore and grow the work within their state. Montana comes to mind. They were the first state to implement a right to compute law, and more states have taken that on after Montana enacted that in 2025. And the idea with the right to compute law is that it really clears the way for innovation, and really is the only guardrail would be limiting regulation to what is necessary to protect the public is the general language that's used. But I would say Montana is the state that comes to mind first off, but there are other states that have been innovative in their approaches to allowing AI to grow.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think we can move on to the next slide. I'll provide a couple more examples of comprehensive AI legislation that came out in 2025. And in Texas, their comprehensive legislation focused on requiring disclosures of AI use and prohibiting developers from creating systems designed to make discriminatory decisions. It also prohibited state government from using AI in specific ways, such as ranking people based on personal data to determine their access to services. Developers in the private sector were prohibited from creating tools that incite self-harm, violence, or criminal behavior. And the law also outlines requirements related to AI deployment in financial services. Texas also used this comprehensive legislation to establish an advisory body to monitor AI use across state government. California enacted Senate Bill 53 in 2025 to focus on the transparency and safety of large AI models. Among other things, this new law requires developers to implement AI frameworks that meet specific requirements, to conduct risk assessments, and to disclose information about the AI system's training data. Both of these laws do touch on innovation. So back to your question, with new government coordination in California to provide AI infrastructure and support for startups and researchers to advance developments in this field, it's called Cal Compute, and a regulatory sandbox to test AI innovations in Texas. Next slide, please. So I mentioned earlier, most states are not enacting comprehensive AI legislation, and legislatures are considering and passing laws that tend to target specific AI uses. In the last few years, popular trends have been to enact laws targeting sexually explicit deepfakes, protecting performers, and guiding the use of election-related synthetic content. So at least 19 states passed legislation related to sexually explicit deepfakes in 2024. And over 15 states enacted new laws in 2025. Some of the new laws have focused on minors. For example, Florida enacted legislation making it a crime to create computer-generated child pornography. Similarly, Washington amended its child pornography law to include digitally fabricated content. In Indiana, the legislature expanded the state's non-consensual intimate image laws to include unauthorized AI-generated content for all ages. When it comes to musicians, artists, performers, states have passed laws protecting their publicity rights or the performer's name, image, and likeness from synthetic replicas. Arkansas enacted a new law in 2025 that creates protections for an individual whose photograph, voice, or likeness is reproduced through means of AI and used commercially. Shifting to the use of AI in elections and campaigning, 12 states enacted laws in 2024 related to the use of deep fakes. And in 2025, Kentucky, Montana, Nevada, North Dakota, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Wisconsin enacted new legislation in this area. States have taken a variety of approaches when it comes to requiring disclosures in the political sense, in the political context. So they regulate activity sometimes if it's close to an election, but may not be regulated outside of that window, prohibit impersonation of a candidate, and require when AI is used in a political ad or campaign messaging. Next slide, please. So we continue to see this targeted AI legislation approach in 2025 and again in 2026. In the 2025 legislative session, we saw the same thing. We saw a wide range of topics that were tackled with legislation. And in 2026, we've already seen that happen again. This year, we are noticing a lot pertaining to chatbots. And it seems that every year, kind of the topic that gets targeted the most has shifted as the technology has also shifted. So in addition to chatbots and the activity we're seeing this year, we saw in 2025 more than 10 states enact new laws focused on AI in the health sector. I think this is another area that seems to be exploding in 2026. Arizona enacted a law prohibiting the use of AI and denying medical claims. New Mexico directed its Board of Nursing to create rules for the use of AI in nursing. And a new Texas law required medical providers to review AI-generated records or recommendations and then make the ultimate medical decision in accordance with the provider's scope of practice. Other states have focused on...
If we could stop right there, that was... Sure. That was an interesting statement. I think we have a question on that specific issue. And then I also have another question in the queue after that. I'm going to go to Representative Himshute first.
Thank you, Chair Carrick. And it was a couple of sentences ago where you're talking about prior authorizations. And I guess my question there is, whichever state it was, Arizona maybe, is saying that you can't use AI to... I guess, prescribe, allow, pre-authorize a treatment. Does that rule out using AI, at all in the diagnosis? So for example, AI could make a recommendation followed up by a human verification, or do you know the specifics of what they did?
Madam Chair, Representative Himshute, in Arizona, it was a law to prohibit the use of AI in denying medical claims. So it wasn't a prior authorization question. I don't know of a state that's regulated AI use in prior authorization, but I could get back to you on that one.
Quick follow-up.
Thank
you. So then I guess, that's exactly what you said, and I just didn't keep it in my head. But the idea that they can't deny claims, and so would AI... to your knowledge, under that law, not be allowed in any role. So it sounds like if it's permitting it, that would be allowed. If it's being denied, I guess I'm just thinking that AI could play a role with then a human verification at the end. And that is not what they're doing, to your knowledge.
That's correct. That's not what they're doing in Arizona, but that is similar to what they're doing in Texas, where AI generated records or recommendations based on the patient's medical record. If a medical provider, if those are generated by AI, medical provider needs to review them and makes the final decision on how to proceed within their scope of practice. So they're using AI to summarize information, but not as the final decision maker. And that was the difference in Texas.
Okay, thank you.
And I appreciate that clarification, because when you first said that, I was very concerned that you had kind of said the opposite, and you didn't. But I appreciate that line of inquiry, so we could get that clarified. I have also Representative Holland in the queue.
Great. Thank you, Chair Carrick. The question I wanted to get into has been partially answered, but I guess I'm going to go ahead and continue down this. The last slide we're looking at, you know, identifies a couple areas of innovation, and the discussion we just had identified a few places that were clarifying how and where AI is used. And I just was thinking, listening to this, that the majority of the legislation is establishing what we can't do with AI. And I'm just curious, is there anything that's emerging from the work or a way to track where we're finding that AI should be used, and whether that's best practices or examples of where this is uniquely contributing to a new capability or enhanced ability to provide public services that might be models of what we should be doing, as opposed to only focusing in on the track record and the legislative record of what we should be making sure we don't allow to happen?
Madam Chair and Representative Holland, that's a very good question, and one that our team has been talking about how to develop resources on, because it is the legislation does tend to focus on putting in, I think we've said, guardrails, guidelines, regulation around what AI cannot do. And then there are the few that we've talked about, again, back to Montana, kind of opening it up more broadly and with limited guardrails. When we track legislation, we don't necessarily see those examples of what would be a great example of how AI has been successfully implemented in a state. And so we are just, that's something our team would like to do.
Follow up. Thank you for that. The next area I wanted to clarify, and perhaps this is found in some of the comprehensive AI legislation, but as I'm looking at this targeted list, I'm not seeing their specific legislation around the use of data that's gathered in systems for purposes of training and improving systems. I'm wondering, does that show up perhaps in some of this target legislation, or would I find more of that as part of comprehensive legislation packages that deal with some of the data management and limitations on the use of public data being accessible for training, for models to be used in training and further development of those models?
Madam Chair, Representative Holland, yes, we do have laws that specifically look at data privacy as it relates to the use of the data training sets that you're talking about and AI. And that we are tracking all of those legislation, and I could pull something together that would specifically target that issue if that would be of interest.
Great. And one more follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you. And then the last thing I had for the moment, although there's, no end of interesting areas to go here. The focus we've had so far has really looked at the software application side of this. And in this last 12 months, we've seen AI getting associated with the hardware side of building data centers and the impact of the energy demand on prices, as well as some of the concerns about data centers being that are used for AI having potentially negative societal impacts. And I'm curious if that is something you see as a piece that might get built on to this framework that you're presenting today, or is it seen as perhaps a different thread of infrastructure and energy policy that you're managing in a different area of focus or activity and NCSL work tracking all of this?
Madam Chair, Representative Holland, an excellent question. And I will preview that colleagues of mine who work on data centers have been in contact with Stuart and I believe are scheduled for a committee meeting in, I'm going to get the date wrong. We've got several testimonies in the next couple of weeks. I want to say that it's the last week of April, so maybe the 26th or the 28th if there are committee meetings on those dates. And as I understand right now, Stuart is in conversation with both someone on who works in the financial services area of NCSL to talk about the financial impact of data centers, and folks in our energy and environment team to talk about data centers and the environmental impact. we just couldn't coordinate so that both of us would be here today.
I've got one more follow-up if I can. I just feel like I have to ask it now.
Yeah, of course. I will just corroborate what Ms. Cherry just said, that we are planning, currently working to schedule a data centers hearing as well. Okay. So just for your information.
Yeah, thank you. So through the chair, I'm just drawn, and I'm asking this somewhat facetiously, but also quite seriously. Has NCSL started building a chatbot that is aggregating all this information that we can access to be able to use as a resource for finding, exploring, and building some of our plans, leveraging all of the data you're collecting and organizing?
Madam Chair, Representative Holland, yes. Yes, it is in early stages. The staff has access to it, and so we've been told to try to break it before it gets put on the NCSL website.
I'd love to help if you get the chance.
I will add. Yes,
that's very, very cool to hear. Thank you, Ms. Cherry. I think that exhausts the questions we had at this moment. If you want to go ahead and continue.
Yes, thank you. So just going back to this slide, looking at targeted AI, we talked about the health sector. We talked, just looking at my notes to make sure I know where we have what we did talk about. We talked about the chatbots. We talked about the health. I want to move into innovation just a little bit, make sure I haven't missed anything. I think I ran through some of these examples just when I, you know, to address the question, but just to dig into these a little bit more. So we talked about regulatory sandbox initiatives in several states. Arizona and Utah are taking on some projects to foster responsible AI development in partnership with the state. New Mexico has a technology prize program for AI projects developed in the state. And the Rhode Island Life Science Hub, it's a state-run initiative to grow the state's life science and biotech industries and expanded their work to include AI. So these are just examples of how states are trying to encourage innovation within the state. And then I mentioned Montana, and I want to mention it again because they were the first to enact a law in 2025, and several states have followed. And they generally are called right to compute laws. And the idea really is that the state is working to preserve innovation by limiting that regulation of AI to what is necessary to protect the public. And so other states have run with that as well. And I would imagine we'll see a few more in 2026. So finally, states are also looking at AI in the use of AI in education, AI education, and then some workplace and workforce areas related to AI. These are all over the place, but it is a big area where legislation has been growing. Louisiana and New Jersey have focused on initiatives for using AI in professional development for K-12 faculty and staff. And then kind of on the other end, Iowa has appropriated funding to Iowa State University to expand degree and certificate programs in AI, also cybersecurity, computer science, and computer engineering. So as a workforce development sort of tool. So, okay, next slide, please. So I've covered a lot of information. I've given you a lot of state examples. I'm trying to answer your questions, and I'm always happy to follow up as well. But as we look back at the last few years, we have been tracking the debates in state houses and have watched them address questions about the potential for AI to create harm, whether current laws sufficiently address possible risks. At the same time, lawmakers have considered ways that AI could transform government services and have created these public-private partnerships to spur innovation. In 2026, we expect to see an increase in the volume of legislation, and we already have. I mentioned we already have more bills enacted this year than all of 2025. We also expect an expansion in the breadth of topics and issues to consider when thinking about AI as it becomes more integrated in so many aspects of our life. And we think that we will see, legislators trying to tackle the growing complexity as the technology just continues to advance and evolve. So if you want to dive into state legislative activity on AI or other technology related issues, there are a number of resources that we've listed here on the slide that are all available on the website. I'll start just by highlighting that the AI policy toolkit, which is linked at the top, is the place where you can go to find all of the other briefs and articles and all of our current and historical legislative tracking on the issue. Of course, the staff at NCSL are also available to address your questions. And as I mentioned, we have staff working on AI issues within their specific policy topics. So across the organization, we know that AI is touching all of these policy areas, and similar to what the plan is for the data center presentation, you know, we have folks working on AI in specific areas if that's of interest, and I'd be happy to make introductions. Next slide, please. I would be remiss if I didn't make a quick and shameless plug for the NCSL Legislative Summit this year in Chicago in late July. And we can pop by past into the next slide, where I'll just say thank you so much, for Madam Chair, for the opportunity to provide this overview. I'm happy to answer more questions, provide additional information in the coming weeks as you continue to work on this issue. My contact information is available on the final slide. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cherry. I think we probably have a number of questions. We'll go ahead and start with Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you. One quick question and one little broader one. On the summit, do you have some specific pre-summit plans for committee meetings that I should be considering scheduling in like you did last year? I'm just mapping out my schedule for next summer as it happens. And I appreciate you putting the dates on there, but I didn't know whether we should back up one day for any NCSL committee activity that might be relevant to this topic.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Holland, we do have the Sunday before summit kicks off. So that would be July 26th. That's when task forces will be meeting, including the AI Cybersecurity and Privacy Task Force. I know there are others that are meeting on that Sunday as well, and I could get a full list to you because I'm involved with the AI and Cybersecurity Task Force. I know we're definitely meeting.
Great. Thanks. And follow up?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'll just note that this is also just a good reminder that we will, through my office, probably just send out a reminder to all members about some of those task force meetings happening right before convention begins. Follow up, Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you. So the legislature last session had introduced House Concurrent Resolution 3 to launch a legislative task force. And it was argued that perhaps even a year ago, we were a little late to getting started in this effort. The task force was defined as a 7-member task force of legislators. And there's been some thought about potentially, you know, that task force should maybe have more community, university, private industry representation on it. But that looks like that may be kind of hard to get organized. And I'm just wondering what your experience is in seeing legislative task forces, and is a legislative member task force still got some value, and do you have some thoughts on what has made those ones work particularly well, if it has helped create some capacity in the legislature to be able to tackle some of these bigger issues, or if you have any advice on where you've seen task forces working particularly well that might help us if we take another bite at the apple of trying to get a task force started, how to make sure that we've done that as effectively as we can. And here's a copy for the two of you if you want to see that one, just to have it handy.
Madam Chair and Representative Holland, yes. So task forces and working groups tended to be more popular and established in legislation a couple of years ago. I think that, you know, depending on the focus of the task force, if there's still some information gathering to happen in the state, and the task force is a mechanism for doing that, to understanding kind of how AI is being deployed in your state, that is where I think task forces have been helpful in, you know, having some authority to collect that information and assess it and synthesize what you've learned. As far as the makeup of the task forces and where that's what's been successful, I think there are examples where It's been a mix, and it's just been legislators as well. I could look into that a little bit more and see, you know, if there's been any longevity with task forces that were maybe made up of a different mix or a purpose-driven kind of reason for choosing one over the other, and just get a little more intel on that to share with you as you're making this next decision.
Great. That's good for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have additional questions for Ms. Cherry at this time?
I do.
Representative Himshut.
Thank you, Ms. Cherry. Through the chair, I have two probably, I think, very quick questions. The first one is, how many states have done nothing? I kind of feel like Alaska's sitting here having done nothing. And there were some shining examples, like Utah's done a lot, and a couple states came up multiple times, Texas, California. So looking at it the opposite direction, how many states are kind of sitting where we are right now, if you're able to answer?
Madam Chair and Representative Himshut, every state has passed AI-related legislation. So it's, I think it depends on, you know, what nothing means in this, in your question. So maybe if you could help me understand kind of what you were thinking about a little bit more, that might be helpful. I don't know quite how to answer that.
I can clarify.
Okay. Yeah. And Ms. Cherry, I'll just add, I mean, Alaska, we've considered some legislation on AI regulation. We had a bill on deepfakes a couple years ago that did not pass. We have a current bill that in part prohibits generated obscene images using AI of children. We have a task force bill that's out there. We haven't passed anything in Alaska, so we have not, as a state, maybe this helps clarify Representative Himshut's original question. Alaska has not, as a state, passed any bill that was explicitly related to anything on AI. We're kind of poised to do so this year, but we're in an odd boat where we've done a lot of discussion, or we've done a little bit of discussion at least, but we haven't come to any kind of broad consensus like we're seeing in other states. So I think all of us sitting here kind of feeling behind a little bit. I'll let Representative Himshut add to that. Sorry if I took away what you were going to say.
No, that's exactly. I was thinking about the CSAM bill. And then I'm just on slide 11, there's Ohio, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, Arkansas, California, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio. And then again, we see Utah on slide 12 and Colorado with the comprehensive stuff and Texas and California, but there's a lot of states not named here. And I just feel like I feel urgency, but I also feel overwhelmed because AI touches everything, like every facet of life. So I just am curious if there are other states that have done as little as we have.
Like, Madam Chair and Representative Himshut, yes, I think there's a continuum of actions that states have taken. And I think I think you are speaking to what we hear from other states when you say AI touches everything, and that can make it feel overwhelming. And so I think that may be why states are tackling, similar to the bills that you talked about, Madam Chair, about that tackling discrete and maybe priority issues related to AI. And that's why we continue to see those targeted pieces of legislation grow, and not taking on the bigger questions and the more comprehensive approaches to AI, is because it is overwhelming. And the other thing that's happened is that technology has changed. And so, you know, perhaps regulation that wasn't needed 2 years ago is now has now risen to the top and needs to be addressed. I'm thinking specifically about chatbots and the explosion that we've seen in regulating those this year.
Follow up.
Thank you, through the chair. Then that leads to my next question. There was I watched the NCSL newsletter that comes out. It seems like it's more than once a week, but at least once a week. And there's been a lot on federal versus state regulation of AI. What is the current status of that? like NCSL's position, and there's all that, you know, the feds are saying, we're not going to let states regulate AI. This is going to be a federal thing. Where do we stand with that currently?
Madam Chair and Representative Hemshute, yes, the office in DC for NCSL has produced letters in support of allowing states to regulate AI. And where it stands right now is that the president has issued an executive order prohibiting states from regulating AI. And it is currently in court. So we're kind of in that limbo between having issued an executive order and not having a final decision on it as well. So we've been trying to understand if that has perhaps stopped some states from putting legislation forward. And we don't see it in the number of bills that are coming through right now, but we're still very much in kind of the enacted phase of things. I don't know what will happen when it comes to bills passed. And it's something we've been talking about, trying to understand it in CSL and if it's possible to, but there have been news articles about cases where states have pulled back legislation, not because of the uncertainty.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I don't see any additional questions at this time. But I just want to say again, I really appreciate you putting this presentation together and joining us today. We had expected a few more members this afternoon, and so I'll make sure to pass along contact for you and NCSL for additional information on these subjects. I think we have another question, Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you to the chair. Actually, just a comment. I just wanted to compliment the you on the presentation. Ms. Cherry, I get a chance to see a few AI-related presentations, and I think this is one of the clearest introductory presentations on what AI is and some of the categorization of it. It is something that gets thrown around as a word, so I just wanted to compliment you on that opening that really helped frame this in a really powerful way, that AI in many senses is something that's been around for many years and used in many ways. It's quite familiar, and we're certainly seeing it evolving into new tools that build upon past work. But just my compliments to the team and to your presentation today. It was valuable, and I'm going to be sharing this with others who are trying to figure out how to articulate what this AI issue is. And this is a great introductory presentation you provided us today.
All right.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and please let us know if we can help and as you continue to work on this.
Thank you so much. We definitely will probably be doing that. Well, that concludes our business for today. If we do have a desire to bring back Ms. Cherry at any time or another representative for NCSL, it was really, they were really on top of putting together something for us today. So I'm just happy about that. There's probably many, many topics and election related topics as well, specifically, since that is also in the purview of this committee, that we could take up and have great presentations on. So we may also look into that in the future. That will conclude our work for today. We will work to reschedule the bill that was noticed for today, Senate Bill 237, for a later date. And on Thursday, April 16th, we will have a joint hearing with the Senate State Affairs Committee. If they need to meet without us due to pending floor engagements for the House, we will deal with that as we need to. But right now, we are planning to have a joint hearing with the counterpart in the Senate at 3:30 in Davis Room 106, which is a slightly different time and date than, or time and location than normal. And that hearing is an overview hearing of all election-related ballot initiatives per AS24.05.186. It's all the registered with the Alaska Public Offices Commission pro and in one case con group for ballot initiatives. So that's what we have for Thursday. And with nothing else before the committee today, we're adjourned at 4:26 p.m.